Don said it's just us tonight, and I just want to say I'm happy to be part of us tonight. Thank you once again for being here. As the members, you're obviously obligated and duty-bound to be here, and just appreciate your interest in spiritual matters. I want to thank the eldership here. I had made a request Sunday for Wednesday night tonight to speak on a specific topic about foreign evangelism that I've had the blessings to be involved in. And I want to share a little bit with you this evening. I've got a number of pictures as far as presentations. However, I grabbed the wrong flash drive. This really isn't my presentation. It's one of the other brothers that put it together for himself, and our presentations got mixed up. But I think I can make it work. So if you'll be patient with me, hopefully you'll gain much from this presentation tonight. And to the song leaders all this week, from Sunday up to tonight, I appreciate so much how you parallel your songs with the sermon topics. That's a terrific ability that you have, and I am certainly appreciative of your abilities to do just that. I don't know how many of you are familiar with West Africa. Perhaps someone here has been there. I know Steve does a lot of international traveling as far as that goes. But I had the opportunity back in 2010, 2011, and 2013 to go to the continent of West Africa, to the region of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is, we'll show that in just a moment, obviously on the west coast of the continent of Africa. Freetown would be the capital of Sierra Leone. And it was a joy to me to be asked to participate in this evangelistic effort. There's nothing more that I enjoy doing than preaching the gospel and sharing that with others. I never thought that I would ever have this opportunity, especially as a young Christian. It had been back here for a long time. And because I worked a secular work for the city of Dayton for 30 years, I really never had that opportunity from 1973 to 2002 to do any foreign work. But after I retired, I got a call from a brother of mine, a brother in Christ, who asked me if I would be interested in traveling to Moldova in Europe at first, and I couldn't make that work. And then shortly thereafter, he called me back. He said, well, can you make this work? How about going to Africa? And that just really blew me away. Africa, wow. I think I'd like to try that, you know. So when I sat down and got all this under my belt, so to speak, that the trip I was about to make, I started reading some passages in the Bible. And one of the passages that I first went to was a passage well known to all of us. There in Mark 16, where Jesus had just resurrected from the dead in the earlier part of the verse. And he's on the earth, as you know, some 40 days before he ascends back into heaven. And so in that time frame of the 40-day period, he's obviously with his apostles, and he gives his apostles a commission. We call it the Great Commission, because it's going into all the world. It's not the limited commission as it once was to the Jew only. But as it is stated here, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. This is the colors of the national flag in Sierra Leone. And so with that said, I thought, what a great opportunity, you know. I was so excited. I'm going to do my best to try and recall. In fact, I said a prayer before I got up that will be brought back to my memory to help enhance the hearers here tonight to grasp and get what I'm trying to pour out this evening. Just a map, of course, of the continent there of Africa. And as you can tell, Sierra Leone, right there on the Atlantic Bay and kind of southwest Africa there. We wanted to preach the gospel. Why? Because we're commanded to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel to all the world was just not a command to the apostles, but primarily to the apostles, as we looked in Mark 16. In Matthew 28, Jesus said at verse 18, that all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In Acts chapter 1 at verse 7, that gospel is going to be going forth into Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, you may remember shortly after the stoning of Stephen, what happened. Great fear came upon the church, and the disciples of Christ were dispersed. And as they were dispersed, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. The church is under persecution at this point. So they didn't tuck their tail between their legs and run off because of persecution. No, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, and the disciples went everywhere preaching the gospel. In your Bibles, in Colossians 1 at verse 23, you'll find there in verse 23 that this mission was accomplished in the first century. That, again, I may have made reference maybe Sunday or I can't remember when, but you know, the Roman Empire exhausted, I think it was 2.2 million miles in the first century, even before the first century as far as that goes. All right? And nevertheless, there was much persecution to stamp out Christianity, but it still exists today, and here we are. Praise God. Yeah. Okay. Well, I flew out of Dayton to Chicago, from Chicago to Heathrow, there in London. So, yeah, we flew day and night and day. About 17 hours and 45 minutes of flight time. So we were pretty well beat once we landed. But it all started again. Let me just drop back for a moment and go back to a passage there in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. You'll know it as the Macedonian call. You song leaders may sing that from time to time. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Well, this is where it all obviously took place. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they'd come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over. Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when they had seen the vision, immediately, Luke has recorded here for us, we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, this is all part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. In other words, the gospel is about to go on European soil now. Think about that. To Macedonia. And so we really got excited about that. We kind of felt like the apostles in one sense of the word. It was just a joyous thing to do. Well, we, from London, we went down to Singal, and Singal to Lungi, which is the airport in Sierra Leone. As you get off the plane in Lungi, you gotta think third world now, okay? You gotta think third world. So, we're in the airport, and it is extremely hot. The airport is just full of people. They're wanting to carry your bags, you know. They're wanting to make some money, of course. And we get that, okay, as far as that goes. I want you to know, out of all that noise and all that what I called utter chaos in the airport, one fella came up and grabbed one of my suitcases. Now, the other three guys had already gone through. And I could see them, and as I saw them leaving the airport, they went to the left. So, okay, I know to go left when I'm through here. this fella took my luggage and he threw it up like this on something. And out of all that noise, how this happened, I still cannot understand how it happened. But there was a noise coming from my luggage. And that man heard that. And he called security. And security said, bomb. Well, you know how I'm feeling. Bomb? What do you, there's no bomb. I was almost in tears. There's a show on called Locked Up Abroad. First thing went through my mind. So I said, no bomb. So they got this a British accent, you know, from when the British ruled that part of Africa at that time, and they would bring the slaves over there. And so they got this accent. So I'm trying to talk like them. I'm trying to put an accent on my voice, trying to get them to understand. I said, let me open. I will open. I'm opening it, and they're all standing back. Really? And as I open it, guess what it was? An electric toothbrush. They had jarred the battery of my electric toothbrush. And I'm thinking, see? You know, oh, my. I tell you, that was... So I thought, boy, I'm off to a bad start. Well, anyway, we cross the Atlantic Bay from Lungi in what they call a water taxi. Pitch dark at night. Pitch dark. We're bouncing in this water taxi. You know, just boom, boom, hitting those wakes, you know. And I'm just wondering, are we even going to get across, you know. Thinking alligators and all this. Anyway, so we finally get into the town. Now, let me bring you up to speed here a little bit. You know, Jesus said in John 4, verse 34 and 35, also in Matthew chapter 9 there, 36 to 38, he said that the fields are white unto harvest. That means there's a lot of souls to harvest, but what's the problem? The laborers are few. It's difficult sometimes to find laborers in the Lord's kingdom who want to venture on foreign soil, okay? So, you know, again, I get that to a degree, but here we are. Okay, so this is just a typical street scene in Freetown. Remember, Freetown is the capital of Sierra Leone. We're in the inner city. Two more of our brethren had went down out into the bush area called Bow. Bow is south, be southeast of Sierra Leone, or Freetown, okay? So here we are, we're in the inner city, and we're going to take some shots, of course, some of these pictures, all right? Freetown is a city of close to 1.5 million people, and actually outgrowing its infrastructure. Now, I said earlier, and if you can imagine this, think third world. Has anybody been in a third world country other than maybe Steve? Yeah. Gary? Yeah. That's right. There you go. Okay. It's a whole different world than our country, right? It truly is. All right. The population, it's a religious country without a doubt. The 60% of the population are Muslim. All right. About 30% are Catholic. And then 10% would be what they would call Christian. Okay. Not as we know Christian, but what they would call Christian. So that's kind of the makeup of the population from a religious perspective. As far as we knew, and I got no there, but now we, you know, we know that now, only two small faithful churches were in the region of Freetown. Sierra Leone, which is right in the inner city, and then Wellington was just outside the city limits, all right, to the east, okay? So, if you do a Google Earth, maybe, you type in 33 Priscilla Street, maybe when you get home. Now, it may show it distinctively, and it may not, okay? I've had it show up once distinctively, and other times it's just kind of a blur. But be that as it may, you'll kind of get an idea of what the inner city really looks like, all right? And we'll talk a little bit about Wellington here in a moment. And that is this. I got to tell you that the structure or the church that was once in Wellington is no longer. the assembly place, the place of the assembly in Freetown is a concrete structure. It's actually used as a school building in the basement. That's the way the government runs things over there, all right? They've got a school building, and the children meet in the basement, but the Christians are allowed to meet upstairs on Sundays and Wednesdays and throughout the days of the week if they so choose. The government allows them to do that. There's no compensation there to the church as far as that goes. Now, in Wellington, when we first got there, we noticed they had a banner sign, and they called it the Church of Something-Something Deliverance. What is that? You see, the origin of these two churches were from the Liberal Brethren back in the 60s. They sponsored these churches. One about 1990, the Institutional Brethren bailed out on the works there in Sierra Leone, and they were just left to struggle on their own, make the best they could of things. So here's how it all came to be. John Gentry of Galena, Indiana, was online. And John, he is a foreign evangelist, Lithuanian, Moldova, and places like that, Europe. He is on a Skype with this fella overseas somewhere. And here's where I believe providence comes in. As he's communicating on Skype with whoever this fellow is in this other country, someone cuts in from Sierra Leone. And they saw John Gentry's name. Well, in Sierra Leone, there was a well-known Methodist preacher named John Gentry. And so this fellow over here in Sierra Leone types in, "Are you the John Gentry of Sierra Leone?" And John writes back, "No, I'm the John Gentry of Indianapolis, Indiana." So, well, they started a conversation, and John dropped whoever he was talking to earlier. And so as he's talking to Joseph Bangura, that was the individual's name over here, they started a Skype session twice a week. And so Joseph would have a number of his friends come and listen to John teach to them. One day they started teaching on Galatians chapter 1. How that some people would pervert the gospel of Christ. And John said, "I think that might be what you all are guilty of." Well, Joseph thinks, "What do you mean by that?" John is teaching him the difference between the perverted gospel and the unperverted gospel. Joseph says, "Can you send brethren from the States to teach us the unperverted gospel?" I said that was providence. I truly believe that was providence. For Joseph Bangura to ask John Gentry, "Can you send brethren across the waters to our country to teach us the unperverted gospel?" John said, "I'll get back with you." And so there's where the contact was made. And really, the rest is history. We made contact. Now, with that said, as we go to Wellington, Wellington's structure was just a bamboo structure. Dirt floors, wooden benches, holes in the top of the roof. It began to rain, and the rain was splattering on our shoes and on our pants, and that's okay. And so we talked to John Cargbo. John Cargbo was the minister of this church of whatever it was, Deliverance. And Joseph had told us about this group, and so we went there and we taught them for 3 days straight. On the third day, John takes the banner down, rolls it up, and tells his congregation, "We no longer whatever Church of Deliverance. We are now Wellington Church of Christ." John had, obviously that week, in those 3 days, had been baptized. And so he's telling his followers that they are changing from the perverted gospel to the unperverted gospel. Now, I got to tell you this story about Wellington. Over in this area, John had a job on the with the Port Authority of the Atlantic there. And if you had a job with the Port Authority for an African, you had a good job. The mindset over there is that if your supervisor, remember it's a very religious country, if your supervisor, regardless of his faith, if he wanted to come into your assembly, could take over your worship service because he was your supervisor on the job. I didn't know that. So Dan Byers and I were sitting on the we're sitting there on the wooden benches, you know, with the muddy floor and all that. And this guy's up there teaching a Bible class. He's got his Bible open, and then he tells the audience there, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 people. He said, "Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Just have faith only, and you will be saved." Well, I've got this hearing issue. So I asked Dan, I said, did he say what I thought he said? He said, yeah. So I politely got up and I went up and stood beside him and I said, this man is a false teacher. Well, John Carbo is standing back there in the back of the building and he's dark, let me tell you. He's dark and the white of his eyes just magnified when I said that. And I think, well, what's wrong with that? I said, he's a false teacher. I said, turn your Bibles to James 2:24. And they're all flipping through their Bible, James 2:24. Let's read that. You see, then, how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Are you going to believe this man or the Bible? They say, we believe the Bible. Well, that man, he skedaddled. John, in between classes, came up and said, Jimmy, he said, that my boss. I said, so? He said, I'm fired. Listen, he was fired from the Port Authority. They lost the property that they were renting. Very minimal amount to pay for rent. That man found out who the owner was of that property. Basically pushed them out on the street, tore the structure down. Now, John has no job. No job. You'll see him here in just a moment. Okay, over 70% live in poverty. Okay, here's kind of a glimpse from our hotel. Now, there's two main dumps in Freetown at each end of the city. Now, in these dumps, it constantly burns. You've heard about Gehenna in the Scripture. You know, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, there was this trash dump, right? That's where they would throw all their garbage, dead corpse of animals, and maybe even sometimes human beings. But it constantly burned. That's what was going on there. And there were people up in that trash dump with sticks scraping, looking for food, looking for something that they could salvage to eat from. Now, you want a pitiful sight. That's a pitiful sight. And that happened on both sides of the city in both dumps. So you can see the cloud there, the haze over the city. Ironically, and how, I don't know, but I know this one day there was no haze for whatever reason. But anyway, Jesus said this. He said in Mark 12:37, and the common people heard him gladly. And these folks did just that. They heard us gladly. They wanted everything that we could give them from a spiritual perspective. These banners that we bought before we got there, come to 33 Priscilla Street to hear the unperverted gospel. They had, well, what we call advertisements, they call jingles. There's one radio station and there's one television station in Sierra Leone. One. And I've got a story about that when we get there, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:27, for consider your calling, brothers, Paul says, not many of you who were wise according to worldly standards, not many who were powerful, not many who were of noble birth are called, all right? So many searched through the dumps, as I was saying a moment ago, in search of finding these scraps of food. Now, this next slide shows a clear day. That's why I say, how that happened, I don't know. Because the dumps continue 24/7, 365. I thought, but there's a clear picture from the same view, okay, on another day. The poverty level there, obviously, again, thinking third world, is getting worse, not better. You may see the rocks on top of the little structure there. They're there for a purpose to hold the tin roofs on because of the wind that comes across the Atlantic Bay would oftentimes just lift the roofs of their structures off. So here's a young man sitting back there. Let's see. And this is your typical homestead, if you will. This next picture is called the Freedom Tree. Back in the 1700s, when Britain was ruling this part of Africa, they would bring slaves in. And all the slaves, the bay is just behind the Freedom Tree here, down a little street and then into the bay. And all the slaves would gather at this tree. They would just meet there. That was their meeting place. That's where they would get their thoughts together, their plans on what they were going to do. Huge tree. Just look at how massive that tree is. That's right in the center of town, mind you. Okay, another street scene. Okay. So I said there was one radio station and one TV station. So here we are at the radio station. I don't know if any of you know of a Steve Nehemiah. That's Steve in the white shirt with the glasses. This is Dan Byers and Dan Barker, and of course Steve, and these are some of the workers there at the radio station. So we went live on the radio. We had an opportunity to teach the gospel, each one of us. After that, we go to the television station. Now watch this. So we got Good Morning America. They've got Good Morning Sierra Leone. They've got their Matt Lauer guy and whoever the lady host is for Good Morning America. The plan was to have all four of us to go on TV and answer any question that the host might have. 2 minutes before airtime, the director comes out and says, no, 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 just one man, one man. Now, I've got this hearing problem, right? Steve has excellent hearing. And he said, go, Jimmy, go. I said, I can't go. I said, I can't. He said, go, go. They're waiting on, you know. So what? As they're sitting there, they're looking into the studio, okay? We're outside here, and you're looking into the studio. And so I go into the studio, and I'm sitting down by this Matt Lauer, and this is my bad ear, so I had to sit like this. And I look out, and they're just hee-hawing. They know they set me up. Well, anyway, I got through that. Later on in the day, we were out and about, and this number of people, oh, TV man, TV man, you know. So they recognized that. But anyway, that was a hoot of a time. Now we're going up into Kalaba Town, which is in the jungle. Oh, this is beautiful. Beautiful jungle. Okay. This is Kalaba Town, and they too, dirt floors, wooden benches you see there. This is my interpreter. Boy, he could do a lot better job preaching than I would. He would animate everything. I animate it. But he did it really, really well as far as that goes. Okay, so that's Kalaba Town. So that's our third church that we visited, this time up in the jungle. I took a lot of little trinkets and things like that to give out to the children. That's what we're doing there. In 2010, this is at Wellington. Remember the structure I was telling you about, Wellington? This is the structure. And this lady has a little baby. And she told the individual back here behind her, said, my baby has a brain problem. I think that's how she put it, a brain problem. And she wants prayer for the baby. Okay. We're happy to do that. So I take the baby and I hold it and I say a prayer for the baby, you know. And she's there back here, right here behind us, as you can see. So we did that. The next year we go back and bless his little heart. He's well. He's well. We're in the same structure here, you know, and doing well. Let me move on. Still at Calaba Town. Love the children. Here's the church building at Priscilla Street. One side view of it, okay? You'll notice the banner, okay? We paid for the banners in advance, you know, to advertise that we were going to be there teaching the unperverted gospel. Yeah, whatever works, guys. Yeah. Now, third world, remember, outside the church building, down the street, you might be able to imagine what this is. If you don't, it's your open latrine. Both ways. That's pitiful. That's the way it is. Just right outside the church building. Well, that was before services. Then we started teaching. There's John Smith. John used to preach in Fredericktown. I don't know if any of you might know John or not. Okay, John was with us on that trip. And he's preaching on the admonitions to the church. I'm preaching on first principles using the blackboard back there. Jared Jacobs from Caneyville, Kentucky, is preaching on family issues. Now, that's their auditorium, like your auditorium, okay? That's their pulpit, made of glass mostly. Well, that's the three of us, okay? Outside the church building, another banner. Now, here's another thing they have to deal with. If open latrines isn't bad enough, you've heard of the Crips and Bloods. Can you believe it? In a third world country? This is outside the church building. There's that stone structure there, so let me get another picture of that here in a moment. Here's what they have to do because there's gangs there. So they have to close the gate up for protection. Would that be a form of persecution? It's been prayed here a number of times how we thank God for our freedom, that we're not molested in any way, that we have this freedom to worship God without fear of outside sources. Every Church of Christ don't have that freedom, brothers and sisters. And Priscilla Street is one of those churches. I think this next slide is it. That BMG is a tag there for Black Man Gang. That's what it is. Black Man Gang, and here is, they mean you die by knife. And they have that N-I-F-E. You die by knife. So they're leaving and marking their territory throughout the inner city there of Freetown. Here's one of our flyers, I think, the Priscilla Street Church of Christ, 33 Priscilla Street. Look at that. Yeah. We are so excited, again, to be there. We invited everyone. Now, here's a typical Sunday service. Through the week, our average day classes were about 30. At night, maybe 70. But here, about 120 gather in on Sunday to worship. That's your brothers and sisters in Freetown, West Africa. They are your brothers and sisters. They're my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Christian Asgill, one of the two elders. Did I say elders? One of the two elders at Priscilla Street. They're an organized Church of Christ. They have their deacons also. But here's a baptism about ready to take place. They have a pool, and the water is probably maybe 2 foot. So Brother Christian, when he baptizes, he will have to go down also and immerse the one being baptized. Here's some questions that we would have during our Bible studies during the day. They would write it. We would pass out pen and paper. What is the consequence of those in the Old Testament who died before Christ born? That was a legitimate question. We weren't expecting such types of questions from them, only to find out just how smart they were. We were reading in Acts one day of Antioch. And they said, Brother Lee, which Antioch? Is that Antioch of Pisidia? And I'm thinking, listen to this. You know, I said, well, let's read the context and find out. You know, I had to get out of it some way. Another question. Why is there no music in Church of Christ? Well, we told them there is music, you know, a cappella music. You know, we had to explain that. Let me interject. I told you I didn't have my presentation, so that's why I'm so scattered. Our first day over there, we rented a hall, and it was called Millennial Hall. And when we get out of the cars, at the taxis that took us there, boom, 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 you hear all this loud music, you know, and thinking, well, where's that coming from? And sure enough, as we went up the steps, it's coming from the auditorium where we're going to be teaching. So we were kind of caught off guard, but then when we thought about, well, we shouldn't be surprised because they're a very musical-oriented people, all right? And so they got these two big loud speakers going. They've got a keyboard up there, and they got this fellow singing, okay? So we finally get things under control, and we're going to start our Bible study, and what we had to start with was Bible authority. The third day, listen to me, the third day on Bible authority, when we walked in that auditorium, guess what? No speakers, no keyboard, no drums, and so Steve asked Joseph, where'd everything go? He said, well, you taught us we have no authority. They got it. They got it. In 3 days, they got it. And we've got people here today. I mean, in our world, you know, in our country, they don't get it. They don't get it. Just amazing. I tell you, of their knowledge that they have and how quick they learn. Why bad things happen to good people? We answered these. And how do we increase our faith in Christ Jesus? Since the disciples told the Lord increase our faith. Good questions. Good questions, all right? I think this is maybe one of my outlines. Yeah. What is a sound church? We need to tell them what a sound church really consisted of. And so what brought us here 4 years ago was a perverted gospel was being preached. So that's why we had to teach about the sound church, all right? Another one, bringing your friend to Jesus, personal evangelism type of list. Let's see, that is Francis. A local young man who would just come. He wasn't a Christian. He wanted to come, what he told us, first of all, to see the white man. That's what he said he wanted to do. He wanted to see the white man. And then he wanted to know more about Jesus. Great. And there I'm just, you know, I gave him my outlines, you know, and all that. Let's see. Jeremy is the next brother. There's in his left hand his Bible. And we saw that he needed a new one, and we had to go to this bookstore, and that's really all we could find. But we bought him a new Bible, all right? Terrific young man. Just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm email him from maybe twice a month at least, do I email Jeremy. Now, they were so kind to us, they wanted to show their gratitude, that they went out and they bought us these African tops for men that are handmade, you know. Beautiful colors. Beautiful. Beautiful colors. So we were going to wear them one Sunday and preach in those, and we did. But here's what they did also. Now, there's Christian. See, he came in his. I've got to say this about Christian and Theophilus. They're the elders. I guess what I'm wanting to maybe interject at this point in time in the lesson is their need. Maybe you knew, okay, I knew it was coming. Yeah, it's coming because these are saints in need. Let me tell you something about a typical day in Freetown. Usually one meal consisting of either fish or rice. That's their main staples, okay? I mean, fish right there at the Atlantic Bay. You see them go out and throwing their nets out, just like they did in the Bible days, close to it. And then they have rice. So in the marketplace, when they have enough money, they go and they buy rice. Now, there's two types of rice. There's good rice and there's bad rice. So I asked Christian, I said, well, tell me the difference. He said, well, the only difference, Jimmy, is this. He said, the bad rice has more worms in them. They have to sift their rice and let the maggots fall out. And they lose a lot of rice. So they have to handpick, again, off the ground, the rice that they lost. Just for them to have a meal. Isn't that sad? That's a heartbreaker. They put a fish before me one day with its eyes plucked out. And I just very gingerly said, no, you take it. You take it. And I really did want someone else to have it other than myself. Okay? But this is a typical day. Rice and fish. Rice and fish. Good rice, bad rice. Here is Christian and Mary. He's the preacher at 33 Priscilla Street. I shared with Dale one of his recent emails to me. Bring my phone in. I'd love to have read it to you. What he does to those who support him, and there's only two individuals that are supporting him. This man, like John Cargbo, had one of the best jobs in Freetown. He worked for something like an Office Depot. He was an office manager. And because he set that time aside for us to come to Priscilla Street and teach during the day, he was going to be there. His supervisor said, no, no, no. You no go there, Christian. Christian said, I'm going. His supervisor says, go and you are fired. Do you think Christian stayed home or did he come? He came. He lost his job. He lost his job. He has four children. Barely gets by in feeding them. So, it's made a point in our lives to see that he can get some kind of support. So, I thank the elders again for the opportunity to bring this need of this brother and this church to your attention. Now, what he will do with his support, he will budget a little bit aside for he and his family. But with what's left over, he will go to the marketplace. He will buy 50-pound sacks of rice and bring to the church building. And after the services on Sunday, he will set it in the auditorium and the elders will disperse it to the most needed families. That's the kind of heart this man has. That's his good wife, Mabel. Here is Theophilus and, Mary, Christian and Mary, and Theophilus and Mabel. I love children. Mohammed. and his little brother. I bought him the closest thing I could find as a soccer ball. You see what's in his right hand? Those are dead flowers that he gave me. I've never had more beautiful flowers. There's his ball. Here's some of the children that attend there at Priscilla Street. Here's my son in the faith, Eric Conta, that I met on my first trip, second trip, third trip. We have a relationship where he calls me Paul and I call him Timothy. It's that close. Just got married a few months ago. He would be there an hour before the study and at least an hour after the study every day. Tell me more. Tell me more, Jimmy. Back to Wellington. The little boy came out of his structure there yelling, "White man, white man." I said, "You want picture made with white man?" He said, yes, see. Well, someone took our picture. That was in 2009 or 10, I think it was, on our first journey. All right. Now, just look. Anybody got a yard like that here? That was my last trip. Look how he's grown up. We do the same pose, you know. He came from the Wellington area, had to take a taxi with his father to come and hear me and see me once again. That's John Cargbo. John is the one that we converted from the perverted gospel that he was teaching to the unperverted gospel. John had asthmatic issues. We didn't know how bad. But he is one of these Barnabases. Just a real encourager. He died about 6 months ago from asthma, an asthmatic attack. In the hospital there in Wellington. As you drive by the hospital in Wellington and you look over to the left, going down this street we went down, the doors are open to the hospital. Dogs, cats are running through the hospital, thinking we're third world again, right? Think about that. His wife just contacted me 3 weeks ago. And she just wanting to inform you, Jimmy, that someone is trying to rob John's grave. She took pictures showing where the stones were being chiseled, where they were lifted up out of the ground somewhat. What's the purpose of that? I don't even have a clue. But evidently, there's a purpose. He was just a fine, fine man. Here again, Priscilla Street, teaching the classes that day, full house that day. I'll tell you. Yeah. Now, this is Christian's outline. Just look at it for a moment. That's Christian's outline. I'm telling you, brethren, he could be right here taking my place preaching sound doctrine tonight. He is that well educated in the Scriptures. Express command. What kind of authority? Express command? Approved example? Apostolic example? Necessary inference? Where did he learn that? Think about that. He was just such an easy student to teach, and he grasped that. That was back in October the 15th of 2013. I'm not sure who that is as far as that goes. But that's their pulpit area, okay? I want to say this before I close. Because of my relationship with the church there in Sierra Leone, there at Freetown, because of my love for the brethren, I would just petition this church, whether it be individually or collectively, to maybe give some serious thought to helping out your brothers and sisters in Freetown. Whatever it might be, or if it's nothing, certainly your prayers would deeply be appreciated. But if there is a gift that you can send, I'll make certain it gets there. I'll send the receipt back to you to prove where your funds went, if that's your desire to do so. But for the eldership, if you'll just give this your consideration, just your consideration, that in and of itself is plenty for me. And it will be so exciting for Brother Christian and Brother Theophilus to know that brothers and sisters in Christ in America are thinking of them in the great distance that divides us, in your prayers. We never want to close a service, of course, without extending an invitation. Maybe there's someone here tonight who is poor in spirit. You know you need to turn to God for your salvation. Would you let tonight be that night that you yield your will for His will and obey the gospel? Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be faithful till the end so heaven can be your eternal home. If you have done that and you are out of fellowship with God, maybe through a public sin, perhaps just being uncommitted to the cause of Christ, you need to make that right also. Would you do that while we stand and sing the song Brother Seth has chosen?